This is Alex Medford from Denver, Colorado, coming to you from sunny Maui, Hawaii, and you're listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast.
Hello, hockey fans from around the world. I am Richard Cote, the producer of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. It is the second line edition of the podcast, and you know what that means. No, it's not that I am the walrus. It means I am joined by the publisher of ProHockeyNews.com, Lou Lafredo. Lou, how are things in New Mexico?
It's foggy. You know what it's like here. Typically dry, but every day this week we've had some kind of rain and or snow fall from the heavens. So that's been our week. Soggy.
I believe we'll be getting some of that here later this evening as we record on Friday. It also means we are joined by our favorite snarky Canadian, maybe your favorite snarky Canadian too. I don't know. I can't speak for you. Jacob Doherty. Jacob, how are things north of the border?
Yes.
There, yes. Excellent. That is exactly the commentary that people come here for the second line for.
Just reminded me of Major League.
I was thinking it's like a Marshawn Lynch press conference. I'm just here so I don't get sued.
You do know that movie, right, Jacob?
Yes, I think good. I stole it from it.
Okay, yeah, you know, they don't call him the best color man in the business for nothing.
I had this vague idea of the scene, and yeah. Anyways,
that's great. I love it.
Oh. Listeners, this episode of the Pro Hockey News Podcast is brought to you by My Custom Sports Chair. Head over to My Custom Sports Chair. Use the code PHN15 to get 15% off your purchase. Thanks to My Custom Sports Chair for being a sponsor of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. Listeners, I do have a little bit of a rant this week. I didn't have anything until minutes before I logged on, before I met with Lou and Jacob, and we went over the rundown. Emily had just gotten home. She'd opened up some packaging that she got from Amazon. We got a few Lego things for Philip. He's slowly amassing a collection. I still live in constant fear because I tend to walk around the house barefoot or at least in socks. So that's just a ticking time bomb. But my rant has to be about toddler vocabulary. Now, Philip has a fairly robust vocabulary when it, you know, compared to most 3-year-olds that we've met. Kind of one thing he's latched onto, and I see potential problems in the future if we don't correct this, slightly hilarious, is everything, every piece, every pretty much anything that he can point to or that he doesn't like. Have a good description for, like, if it's not a car, if it's not a person, even if it is a person, he calls it this guy, that guy. And then we're like, well, can you elaborate? Can you use more words? We're trying to encourage him to use more words. That guy, this guy, please use more words, be more descriptive. Now he starts associating colors with that. This black guy. Okay. So, you know, we know what he means, but we're trying to get him to use a little bit more robust vocabulary, be a little bit more descriptive. It's funny now, but you know what? We're going to try and get that habit, nipped in the bud here as soon as we can, because it stops being funny after a little while and gets embarrassing. Anyway, with that out of the way, let's go to what you all came to listen here for, Bangers and Mash. Lou, what's going on in the UK?
Oh, we had two games today, as a matter of fact, before coming online. And the first one we'll talk about, the Belfast Giants putting an absolute thrashing to the Sheffield Steelers earlier today of 8-2. and in a league that has seen very few, let me rephrase it, in a season that has seen very few blowouts like that, Belfast really took care of business today. The other game that was on today was Coventry Blaze taking on the Manchester Storm, and Coventry walked away with a road win of 4-3 over the Manchester Storm. Now, why do we talk about that? Because we need to deal with an updated standing so far. And so Belfast padded their lead atop the EIHL standings for the season. They now have 80 points. So they're 4 points up on the Guildford Flames, who have a game in hand at 76 points. Sheffield could have really closed the gap had they at least come up with a loser's point in a tie or skills competition, but they sit in the third position, 51 points with 51 games with 73 points, and rounding out the top four, the Cardiff Devils at 71 points through 50 games. We'll head down to the bottom of the ladder here, and the podcast favorite or sentimental favorite, maybe because of the difficult season they got started off with, the Glasgow Clan are still holding down the eighth spot. They are above the cutoff line for the playoffs. They've got 35 points so far this season in 52 games. The Fife Flyers and Dundee Stars round out the ninth and tenth positions. And at this point, the Stars were sort of keeping their hopes alive, but wound up with a loss this week. So they still have only 29 points. And the Fife Flyers, are sitting there at 32 and 3 points out of the spot. It's not a lot. They have a game in hand on the Clan, but the prediction, I think, would be at this point that whoever is holding that eighth spot is not guaranteed, but it's pretty close. And right now the Clan are in for the postseason. Everything else has been, you know, fairly quiet over the last 2 weeks since we last met for Bangers and Mash. But that's pretty much it for this week. Richard and Jacob and the Giants. I don't know that they're my favorite. I've been pulling for Guildford this year, but the Giants are always my sentimental favorite, given my some of my family roots. So that's it. That's Bangers and Mash for the week.
All right. We look forward to it as we come back in a couple of weeks. We should have a little bit more definitive answer on the playoffs, correct?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, as we bring things back here to the North American continent, let's take a look at the ECHL. We'll go over the standings here. And then I got not one team I want to look at, but actually a few teams I want to look at. We'll get there in just a second. Looking at the North Division, the Newfoundland Growlers have clinched a playoff spot with 84 points. And on top of that division, the Reading Royals in the number two spot with 74 points, the Maine Mariners in the number three spot with 71 points, and the Worcester Railers in the number four spot with 67 points. In the South Division, the Jacksonville Icemen with 78 points lead that division, still have not clinched a playoff spot. As you can see, as we go further down in the standings, the South Carolina Stingrays with 77 points in the number two spot, the Florida Everblades in the number three spot with 76 points, and the Greensville Swamp Rabbits in the number four spot with 76 points. Side note, the Atlanta Gladiators only 6 points out of that top four spot. So things are pretty close in that division. That's why we don't have anybody clinching in that one. The Central Division, on the other hand, is a quite different story. The Cincinnati Cyclones, who were in the number two spot 2 weeks ago when we were talking on this podcast, have jumped back into that number one spot. They have 91 points. The Toledo Walleye have fallen to the number two spot with 88 points. The Indy Fuel in the number three spot with 77 points. And the Fort Wayne Comets in the number four spot with 66 points. In a note on here, the Cyclones, the Walleye, and the Fuel have all clinched playoff spots. In the Mountain Division, the Idaho Steelheads remain on top, dominantly on top of that division. They have clinched a playoff spot and the division with 101 points through 61 games. They have lost 10 games total, and one of them was in overtime. So you're going to get a lot of points that way. In the number two spot, the Wichita Thunder with 63 points. The Allen Americans in the number three spot with 62 points. And the Kansas City Mavericks round out your top four with 62 points. Now, I want to go back to the Central Division, one that We're seeing a lot of teams. We're seeing three teams here who have already clinched a playoff spot in the division. Two teams who are really battling it out for that number one spot. And as I had mentioned before, Toledo was in that number one spot 2 weeks ago when we met on this on the second line. Now in the second spot, a full 3 points behind Cincinnati Cyclones. Not so much because they haven't played well. They are 10-0 in their last 10, 19-0-0-1 in their last 20. Cincinnati, on the other hand, is 9-0-1 in their last 10, somehow managed to jump up because, well, they've played more games. They played 5 games since we met on the 10th, and Toledo has played 3. So, you know, you get more games, you get a few more wins in there. That's how they're able to jump up there. But now they are even at games played. So yeah, it's it's going to be interesting there. Lou, I want to get your thoughts here. Cincinnati, Toledo, which one of these two teams do you favor come playoff time?
I'm still going to stick with the Walleye. Toledo got a slow start this season, and that's really why that 20 game point streak has not vaulted them. They should be, you would think that they'd be up there the same as the Idaho Steelheads over in the Mountain Division, but Toledo got a slow start, not particularly impressive, but as we all know, these last 20 games, they've put themselves in a better position. I don't think that they're peaking too early. This season is almost done for them. For the regular season is almost done for them. So I see. I would not want to have to face. I wouldn't want to face either Toledo or Idaho at any point this season because I don't see anyone else except maybe Newfoundland competing. But out of those three, definitely for me, Toledo.
Yeah. this one, to me, I am leaning towards the Walleye. I mean, they've really turned it on. They've got 10 games left. So there's a potential they could end the season on a 20-game win streak. But I feel like that would just kind of burn them out and come playoff time when you're potentially facing teams, you know, at such caliber like the Cyclones, you know, like Newfoundland. That could be pretty problematic. And, you know, if you happen to draw any of the teams in the South Division, you know, they're no slouch either. They're pretty close in points, but they're also kind of beating each other up. So,
yes.
You know, give and take there. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting as we get closer, as we finish these last 10 games of the regular season. But yeah, two teams who are just really giving it all they got there in the Central Division, a little fun, you know, race to the end. You know, as we mentioned, Mountain Division, not so much. There's a little bit of division between first and second place. South is pretty competitive. Nobody's clinched a playoff spot. And North, you got 10 points between first and second. So, yeah, really the South and the Central are where the interesting hockey is going to be played down the stretch.
Absolutely.
All right. Looking at the AHL. We're coming up on the end of the AHL season as well. Let's take a look at the standings as of today, March 24th. In the Atlantic Division, we have the Providence Bruins on top with 84 points. The Hershey Bears in the number two spot with 81 points. The Charlotte Checkers in the number three spot with 76 points. And the Springfield Thunderbirds in that number four spot with 71 points. The Toronto Marlies in the North Division have clinched a playoff spot with 84 points. In the number two spot, the Syracuse Crunch have 68 points. Let's flip that. The Utica Comets in the number three spot, also with 86 points. And the Rochester Americans in the number four spot with 63 points. In the Central Division, we have the Texas Stars still on top with 79 points. The Milwaukee Admirals seem to be advancing a little bit in their last few games. They have 77 points. The Manitoba Moose in the number three spot with 75 points. And the Iowa Wild in that number four spot with 69 points. In the Pacific Division, we have a couple of teams who have already clinched a playoff spot. The Calgary Wranglers in that number one spot with 90 points. Quickly behind them with 88 points, we have the Coachella Valley Firebirds. The Abbotsford Canucks in the number three spot with 76 points. And the Colorado Eagles rounding out your top four in that division also with 76 points. Lou, I would like to turn your attention to, there haven't really been any standout teams in the last 10 games, or at least the last time we met. You know, everybody's been playing about average hockey. There's been nobody on a ridiculous stretch like we've seen in the ECHL, with the Checkers and with the Toledo Walleye. But tonight, we do have some potential clinching scenarios for three teams, the Providence Bruins, the Hershey Bears, and the Abbotsford Canucks. We'll go over each one of those teams and their complicated roundabout way of earning a playoff berth today. First, the Providence Bruins. If they, they win at Bridgeport, or sorry, they clinch today with a Bridgeport regulation loss or at Belleville, or a Hartford regulation loss versus Springfield, or a Bridgeport overtime shootout loss at Belleville and a Hartford overtime loss, shootout loss, or shootout win versus Springfield. Got all that? Clear as mud?
I think you forgot that they have to be dancing on their left skate while doing the Queen's wave with their right hand.
It's left hand, proper etiquette. Let's get that straight. All right. The Hershey Bears have a slightly less complicated scenario. They can clinch a playoff berth tonight with a regulation or an overtime win at Rochester and a Hartford regulation loss versus Springfield. Or that's fair. You know, they get a little bit of help. They win their game. They get a little bit of help. That makes sense. Or a shootout win or an overtime loss, shootout loss at Rochester, and a Hartford regulation loss versus Springfield, and a Bridgeport regulation loss at Belleville. That one seems a little bit more complicated to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Wow. Wait until we get to Abbotsford. Abbotsford has the most complicated way to clinch a playoff spot. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
A point in Ontario. Okay. That's how they get it. They got to get a point tonight. So they can't lose in regulation. Otherwise, they're in. So if the playoffs were to start today, the teams we would see in the playoffs, because the AHL has this weird way of doing it ever since COVID, it's just been kind of a jumbled mess. I really hope that they take a look at this and kind of restructure it, because it's doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I don't know. No. So in the Atlantic Division, we'd have six teams who would make the playoffs. We'd have the Providence Bruins, the Hershey Bears, the Charlotte Checkers, the Bridgeport Islanders, the Springfield Thunderbirds, and the Lehigh Valley Phantoms would all make the playoffs in the Atlantic.
Right.
In the North Division, we'd have five teams who would make the playoffs. The Toronto Marlies, who would have a first round bye. The Syracuse Crunch and the Utica Comets also would have a first round bye, but they would play each other in the second round. And in the first round, the Rochester Americans and the Belleville Senators would play each other. Winner would go play Toronto. So that is, of course, if it were to start today. This will all be jumbled around a little bit more as we get towards the playoffs. In the Central Division, we'd also see five teams, similar format. Texas Stars with the number one seed. Milwaukee Admirals, Manitoba Moose would face each other in the second round. The Iowa Wild and the Rockford Ice Hogs would play each other in the first round to see who plays the Texas Stars. And in the Pacific, bless their heart. We would have
a slide rule.
Kind of. We would have seven teams who would make it into the Pacific. The Calgary Wranglers, as the number one seed, would get a first round bye. Everybody else would play in the first round. We'd have the Coachella Valley Firebirds and the Tucson Roadrunners, the Abbotsford Canucks and the Bakersfield Condors, the Colorado Eagles, and the Ontario Reign would all face each other. Now, the lowest seed advancing from that round would go play Calgary, and then sounds like we'd just do some reseeding as we hit the second round. Honestly, the AHL needs to do something about this, because I have it written down in front of me, and it is even still hard to follow this chart.
7-5-5-6.
Yep.
So if my math is right, that's 23 teams
mm-hmm.
out of 15, 23, 22 out of 32 teams. So it doesn't take much to get into the playoffs.
Apparently not.
to a warm body and fresh ice.
Right. I mean,
you have to be really bad not to make the playoffs.
You certainly do, especially in the Pacific Division where there's 7 slots for you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a jumbled mess.
Should all get sorted out by this will have been sorted out by the time we meet up again.
By the time we meet up again, yes, we should have the seedings solidified. Yeah. And just as a point of clarification, the first round will be a best of 3.
Right.
The second round will be a best of 5. The third round will also be a best of 5. And then the conference finals, as well as the Calder Cup, will be best of 7. So we got a 3-5-5-7-7 playoff.
That's acceptable.
If you're putting this many teams into the playoffs, that first round better be best of 3. Otherwise, you're going well into July.
Right.
And you don't want to compete with the Stanley Cup, so because nobody's watching. So there we go. That's our playoff scenario if it were to start today. Those are our clinching scenarios, as convoluted as they are. That's how some teams are going to be able to clinch tonight on Friday. So we'll keep track of that and see how things go for our friends in the AHL. Speaking of the AHL, if you would like to get your hands on maybe some discounted Calder Cup champion gear, head over to our friends Chicago Wolves and the Chicago Wolves store. Enter in code PHN15 to get 15% off some probably heavily discounted Calder 2022 Calder Cup champion gear. As you probably noticed, the Chicago Wolves are not mentioned. They're probably not making the playoffs this season, but they still have some sweet looking gear. So I would go over there and check some of it out and get yourself some good looking gear. All right. The ECHL and the AHL are not the only leagues who have playoff clinching scenarios. We have some in the NHL. And boy, is it, you know, going to be a long list of teams who could clinch a division, or not division, but a playoff berth. We need the New Jersey Devils to beat the Buffalo Sabres in any fashion tonight, and they clinch a playoff berth. That is the end of the list. New Jersey could get in. They'll be the third team in the Eastern Conference to clinch a playoff spot. Nobody has yet to clinch one in the West. This is almost 2 weeks after Boston clinched a playoff spot earlier this month. things are just ridiculous in the East. I don't know what it is. It's just... It's odd. The season is just odd for me out there. But you know, just kind of keep a track of, as we get closer to the playoffs, who's making what. And so, yeah, if New Jersey wins in any shape or form, or gets a point in any shape or form, they will be heading off to the playoffs, which got me thinking. Yes. And I would like to bring Jacob in on this one. I would like to direct this question to him first. Of all of the teams who are on the bubble right now, are there any fan bases who need to be in panic mode that their team may miss the cutoff?
I'd say Florida.
Yeah.
The Florida Panthers, with their big offseason moves, must be losing their minds right now if they don't get in after all that.
So I think last week I'd mentioned that I didn't have any faith in Florida, but really it's a coin toss for who gets that second wild card spot. Lou, are there any other teams further down who are still somewhat in contention, where fans are just, you know, starting to hit that panic button? I mean, one that comes to mind to me is Washington. Do you think that fans are panicking, or do you think they've just, you know, made peace with how the season's going?
Well, so if we start here with the East, I think Washington has already, their panic was baked into the issue weeks ago when the Caps went cold, and the Capitals have never really rebounded from that. They do have the occasional decent win, including last night. But it's not ever when John Carlson came back from his skull injury, and he scored last night in the third period. But I would take issue with Jacob's contention that the Florida Panthers fan base would be panicking. My question to Jacob is, if you can show me a fan base in Florida, then we'll talk.
Oh,
fair point.
Shots fired.
I am more inclined to say that the Penguins fan base is a little bit more panicky, because if not this year, then what's the future of the Pittsburgh Penguins moving forward? If they're not going to be in the playoffs and making a long run with a potential cup at the end, then what is the future for the Pittsburgh Penguins, as opposed to the Florida Panthers, who are still young enough that they can come back next season?
Well, I think Pittsburgh Penguins fans already know. They know what they have, and they have an aging team, and they know they have maybe a year or two at best in order to make it work. And if they don't, you know, Crosby's standing on his head right now. He's been playing fantastic this season. But how long is that going to last?
Right.
How long is he going to keep playing at an elite level as, what, a 35, 36-year-old player?
How long is he going to stay healthy?
Yeah.
He's had issues with that throughout his career.
Yeah, especially a lot of those really severe concussions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm not necessarily a doctor. I don't know as much about this, but I do know as you get older, especially with a concussion history like Sidney Crosby, it gets really bad really quick. And hell, even about injuries, talk of Evgeny Malkin, right? He's struggled to stay healthy almost his entire career. So, and he's 36. He's not getting any younger. So they're just trying to, you know, put duct tape on whatever they can at a outside chance. But I don't feel like it's really, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, we have the good times with Crosby and we're happy with that. I think that's
interesting.
All right. Jacob, since you're a little bit closer to this, I want to just pose this question to you. Hypothetical situation where Florida, Pittsburgh, and Washington just fade severely down the stretch, and somehow Ottawa jumps up and takes that second wild card. How nuts would that fan base be?
Not very, because it's Ottawa.
There's my Florida joke.
I mean, given everything that's going on surrounding the Ottawa Senators in the news and their sale, and if they're able to just jump up and just cling to life and prolong their season, I mean, wouldn't that just spark something special into any fan?
That'll be great. And I think the city of Ottawa and the fan base really needs that. But even where they are, I think they're happy because they are showing glimpses of what they could be. Did this year fail miserably with just the goaltending carousel of injuries? Yes. But I feel like no matter what happens with Ottawa this season, I think they're generally a bit happier. And also, I don't know how happy it would be after they played the first game in Boston. Right? Because at the end of the day, they're fighting for that second spot. And that's all they can.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're going into a Boston team that has been resting, that is just so stacked top to bottom and playing out of their minds, that it's going to be a slaughter. It's going to be a slaughter for any of these teams.
I was just looking at their schedule as they close out their last few games. They're off tonight. They play tomorrow at New Jersey when New Jersey has a back-to-back. So maybe they catch a tired New Jersey Devils team, start getting some momentum going. Then they have Florida at home on Monday. You know, not an invincible team. That's a team you're chasing, a game you have to win. Then you get a couple of nights rest, and then you host Philadelphia, a struggling team that you can beat. And then we look at April, and April's kind of a mess, and I think all hope goes out the window. You have Toronto, you have Columbus, then you have Carolina, Florida, Tampa Bay, Carolina, Buffalo. I think at that point, if you have not strung together a couple of wins, I think by the time they get to April 1st and their game against Toronto, I think that's probably it.
If they beat Florida once and are still and they don't lose to Philadelphia, they have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Because Toronto and Tampa are going to be locked in to their exact spots, only playing for seeding, and Carolina has already been clinched for a while, so they're just going to probably be resting to get ready for the playoffs, and Buffalo is going to be eliminated, and for Buffalo it's not going to be as much of a meaningful game for them.
Okay.
So on one hand, yeah, it's a bit unlikely. But they do, if they lose one game against Florida in regulation, they're done. There's just no chance. I heard the number for them to be 7-2-1.
Oh.
For them to realistically make the playoffs. That's what I've heard. But I haven't confirmed that whatsoever.
That's attainable. I don't know if it's attainable by the Senators this season, but it is attainable by a team. All right. And just looking at the standings in the West, I mean, in my opinion, I don't feel like there's any team really on the bubble. You could maybe make an argument that Nashville, since they have at least three games in hand with the teams competing for the wild card, but they're still 5 points back of that second wild card spot. So they have an opportunity, but I don't know if they're really going to capitalize on it. They're 5-3-2 in their last 10. I mean, Lou, you probably know this team better than anybody else here on the second line. Is this a fan base that's panicking, or is this a fan base who's already panicked?
I think this is a fan base that's already panicked and have already been pointing the finger at Hind, the head coach for the Predators. He has been castigated for being inept in his coaching. And so it's already baked in Nashville. And I think they're already looking at the fact that they're going to miss the playoffs, despite how poorly the Winnipeg Jets have played down the stretch. They, those 5 points are an awful lot of points, despite the three games in hand that the Preds have. It's so difficult to make up, look, as a Rangers fan, they lost at home to the Carolina Hurricanes, and I automatically had the season over and done, that everyone was going to catch them and they'd finish outside the playoffs. And then last night they beat the Hurricanes 2-1 in Raleigh. So, you know, then all of a sudden everything is okay. But when you really look at it, at teams that you don't have an emotional attachment to, those 5 points are just, that's a monumental task to make up this late in the season. And Nashville has not demonstrated the ability to string any sort of meaningful win streak together.
But they have 3 games in hand. So 2 points, and that's all for two games, that's 1 point difference,
no,
right?
Yes. No, I'm not discounting the value of the 3 games in hand.
Yeah.
The reason I'm discounting the Predators is they've not demonstrated that ability to put those games together.
That's so all. MoneyPuck is giving Nashville a 10.5% chance of making the playoffs.
What's their number for the Winnipeg Jets?
82.9.
Yeah, same.
And then Calgary also has a 10.3 chance. So,
boy, guys, you want to talk about a fan base that ought to be panicking? I think it's Calgary.
Oh yes.
And I forgot, you know, Milan Lucic scored his 5th goal of the season last night. 5 goals. What have universe? You not been... I'm sorry, it's your province.
Jacob. Alberta.
What the hell?
What are you telling me that?
Is it with Calgary hanging on to this? I mean, is it that his contract is so unsellable?
Yes. Okay. That's part of the reason. Another part of because keep in mind, Lucic's contract got traded, I think 3 times because it was so bad. Or no, mm-hmm. Or just once actually.
Kings to the Flames.
No, from the Oilers to the Flames because he didn't get traded to. He
signed a free agent. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, that's been a problem, and they basically did a lateral pass or lateral trade with James Neal, with Edmonton, and. Saw where that went. Yeah. But Calgary has always kind of had a bit of an issue just trying to consistently be more. They've always been a middle of the pack team, similar to Minnesota. They have the talent. They have certain big pieces that they can use, like Rasmus Anderson, previously Johnny Gaudreau, Jacob Markstrom. But they traded one of those pieces for nothing. And also Matthew Tkachuk. They traded one of those pieces for a underperforming guy that you gave $10.5 million to in the offseason before he even played a single game for you. Calgary just has I don't know what's going on in Calgary's management, but they just keep making these unnecessary risks instead of trying to stay the course and get more.
Yeah.
And get some form of consistency and build up something around that.
Well, who are your panicky groups in the West?
Other than Nashville?
Yeah. I don't know if I even consider Nashville panicking. I feel like they know they're done. And I think they've made their peace with it. I think anybody who's panicking is going to be out there in the East. Winnipeg, I think they're a little more disappointed because they had a really good start to the season and they've just faded. And the rest of the division has caught up and passed, essentially. So I think Winnipeg's probably not panicking, but they're really disappointed with, you know, settling for a second wild card when, you know, a couple months ago they were battling it out for the division lead.
You know, even if you're Winnipeg, do you think you can totally beat Vegas or Dallas in the first round?
I think they have a shot. I wouldn't discount them when they turn it on. They can steal a couple of games away from you. I don't know if that would be enough to take something from Dallas. It might be enough to take it away from Vegas. Just because I know Dallas plays anybody in the Central tough. It, no matter who they match up against, it's always a tough time for that team. I feel like Vegas would be an easier matchup for them. But ultimately, in a 7-game series, yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in Winnipeg doing it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that is why we play the game. So those are fan bases that are panicking right now. Now, are there any fan bases, maybe not of bubble teams, but of teams just who are already in a playoff spot or in a position to clinch a playoff spot? Do we have any fan bases who are just need to be celebrating the season they've had and the success they're having right now? Jacob, I mean, is Edmonton celebrating, or are they just like, all right, another year, another first round loss, possibly?
Another first round. We made the conference finals last year.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yes, we did.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that.
I don't remember.
You sure you guys showed up?
Yeah, we didn't, but we made it.
Okay, that's why I was confused. I wasn't sure who we were playing, but I mean, whatever.
Yeah. Anyways, I think LA is over the moon right now.
Oh, yeah.
LA has such a good team. I really am scared to play them. For Edmonton to play them in the first round.
Okay, can I talk about how disappointed I am that Vegas isn't in the second or third spot in that division, and how we could possibly get a first round LA versus Vegas, Jonathan Quick looking for some redemption against his former team in the first round?
That'd be funny.
We're not going to see that. So
that would be really nice, but Vegas, I'm also kind of concerned about with their goaltending situation.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't, does anyone know if, what's his name?
Thompson?
No, the guy who got injured at the start of the season. Leonard. Oh. Rob Leonard's going to be back at all. Is there a chance? No.
No. Yeah. That's why they got Quick.
Yeah. He's not even on the roster. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
I can't be on the roster anyways because of the cap, but
yeah, I think he's sitting on the LTIR and he's done.
Or game one, he comes out with like a WWE entrance and just starts playing. Starts the game one. Like,
get the fog machines out. No, he's yeah.
Not, they don't not need to get them out. They're already out. This is Vegas.
Oh, that's right. This is Vegas. You got the neon and everything. Yeah, no, I mean, that would fit right in with their pregame show. That would be amazing. Lou, in your mind, do you have any fan bases who are just ecstatic about the season and excited for the postseason?
Yeah, Seattle.
Oh, yeah?
You know, the last 20 games or so have been a bit spotty. They have not been overwhelming. The last, 15 to 20 games, they've had a difficult time putting together excessively long runs, but they've got 86 points. They're one up on the Jets with two games in hand, and they've gone 5-3-2 over their last 10, but they are just 4 points back of Edmonton with a game in hand on them. So I would think that the Seattle fan base is over the moon.
Yeah. I'm going to put my chips on the New Jersey Devils. I don't know if they were expecting this kind of season, but they are having one fantastic season for this franchise who has struggled in the last few seasons. only 2 points back of the division lead. You're playing in a very tough division in the Metropolitan Division. You don't have the overpowering team like Boston there, but you have, you know, three teams who will just hammer you and just, you know, play extremely physical. You know, you're competing with a bunch of jerks and with the blue shirts, and you know, it's I think for New Jersey, it's this is the season that fan base has needed and wanted for a long time. So that for me, that's my pick. All right,
it's another one though. Just as an aside, it's another one with a weak fan base in terms of numbers.
Yeah,
they've had a difficult time this season, even with the record. And they've had a very difficult time filling the building. So
yeah,
in Newark.
All right. We have some injury updates and suspension updates in the NHL. First, I want to touch on Boston Bruins' A.J. Greer receives a one-game suspension for his cross-check in the Montreal game. I don't know if you guys saw the video of that. I was talking with Lou before we started recording this. I'm not mad at the one-game suspension because, yes, he catches Hoffman in the jaw with his stick. This is before the face-off, before the puck is dropped. They're kind of hitting each other's sticks back and forth. Hoffman throws a little bit of a shove into Greer's shoulder. Greer returns and catches him in the chin. Yes, you are not supposed to do that. I do agree with the one-game suspension, but I was kind of hoping for more out of this because as you watch it at full speed, it doesn't really seem like much. Not to say that any stick up in the face is anything to scoff at, because I would not appreciate that. I have not appreciated that in the past. But yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of one of those by the books. You have to give it to him. I don't know. It's just, did any of you guys happen to see?
Yep. I also saw that Mike Hoffman posted an Instagram story and commented on his displeasure. His very clear displeasure of only one game. So.
I'm sorry. He's mad that AJ Greer only got one game for colliding with his chin.
Yeah. I don't know.
Man. Okay.
Now, after the Ottawa stuff though, it's, you know.
Yeah. So, a little bit of breaking news as we are recording, Richard.
Yeah,
I don't know if either you or Jacob have seen it, but the minority owner of the Coyotes, Andrew Barraway, has been arrested.
Oh,
the National Hockey League released a statement saying that they would not have any further comment, except acknowledging that he had been arrested, and then pending further information, he has been suspended indefinitely from the ownership of the Arizona Coyotes. So am sure that the first line will have that. We'll have more detail about that next week. But look for an update on prohockeynews.com later tonight.
So a little bit more. Apparently his arrest happened here in Colorado because they are set to face the Colorado Avalanche. Actually tonight. Happened in the sleepy town of Aspen, Colorado. This comes from the Aspen Daily News, which is the newspaper out in Aspen. He is being charged with a felony strangulation and a misdemeanor second degree assault. So, there'll be a little bit more digging on that. We'll have a little bit more for you as, this situation develops. So, talked the AJ Greer suspension. We've talked the minority owner arrest for the situation that's going on in Arizona. We also have an injury to update. Josh Anderson looks like he is going to be out with a lower body injury. Lou, you had brought this up. Does it sound like he is done for the season?
Yeah, the update there seems to be focused on surgery that will end his season. He's not the first Montreal Canadiens player to be pushed off to the season-ending list, with them being out of the playoff hunt for months at this point. So it's too bad for Anderson. He has a high ankle sprain, and as I understand it from at least one report, there was a potential for surgery. And you know, we all know high ankle sprains are difficult to recover from anyway.
Yeah,
it's a brutal injury.
That is a brutal injury. All right, and then as we start going towards the end of the season, we're starting to think about the upcoming draft and where teams are going to place. Jacob, this was one topic you wanted to bring up this week, the Bedard watch.
Yes.
Where do you have him going this week, Jacob?
Well, if the odds are for the NHL draft lottery to be believed, Columbus is most likely going to take Connor Bedard, followed by San Jose, Chicago, Anaheim, and then Montreal. This is all subject to change based on end of season standings, but Columbus is almost certainly looking to get that last overall pick with only 51 points on the season.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're 2 points below San Jose. So, I mean, one win and they're putting that in jeopardy. I don't think they're going to risk this. Do you, Jacob? I'm sorry. Gary Bettman's already said there is no tanking in hockey. This just doesn't happen. So
yeah, that is true. The player, I think it's always clear. It should always be made clear. Players and coaches don't tank. General managers, though, and guys in the front office do. Oh. And that's not something bad. It happens. It's going to happen in a sport where there's a draft pick lottery system. It's much better than the NFL, I can tell you that. But so Columbus, there are really only four teams that are in the hunt for it, for the first round overall pick. Anaheim, Chicago, San Jose, and Columbus are the four. Montreal is way too high. They have an 8-point separation between Montreal and Anaheim. So it's going to be between those four teams.
That's an 11-point, isn't it?
I don't know. I can't math.
Between Columbus and Montreal? 62 versus 51?
56.
Montreal?
Because Montreal and Anaheim?
Oh, I thought you said Montreal and Columbus. Never mind.
Yeah. No. Anaheim, because it's just separating the four teams that are in this.
Gotcha.
So, because they're kind of in a cluster. Anyways, the first round, the chances for the first overall pick rank from 25.5% for the lowest placed team to 13.5% for second and 11.5% for third, followed by 9.5% and then down 1% for each. So it'll be interesting to see how these four teams are going to play the rest of the season. Are they going to be pressured by their offices to, you know, try out new players that they otherwise wouldn't?
Okay. Jacob, just off the top of your head, do you know how often that the team with the highest odds of getting that number one pick actually gets it?
25.5% of the time.
25%.
Well, they change the odds often.
In the past few years.
I'm going to say 35% chance.
Oh, you're just, I thought maybe you had the stats pulled up. So.
Oh, no, I can find out really quick. So. Right.
Okay. Well, anyways, it's, I have a hard time believing that Bedard's not going to be sitting in either an Anaheim or a Columbus jersey, given who's going to trade what, how teams are going to finish the season. I think Columbus is going to wrap up the season with probably the worst record. I mean, you don't want to jeopardize the future of your franchise when you have a season that's really not worth playing. So
on the other hand, Is this one player going to turn your franchise around?
I think it, I mean, getting this one player, whether it's going to be a direct impact of him making a difference on the ice and helping your team, or whether it's going to be you have this draft pick and now you can use it as a bargaining chip for a team who wants to use that and
yes,
will give you everything.
That's where I was going.
So whether right. Columbus uses it, and to me, it would be smart of them to use it and get the most coveted first round pick in this upcoming draft. I mean, there is the, you know, the mental chess game of, well, what can we get for this? What, like, we're talking about a kid who has not played a single minute of NHL, NHL hockey.
Right.
But he's putting up numbers in the minors that we've seen from, you know, names like Connor McDavid. So is that going to directly translate? We don't know. It is a little bit of a gamble. In my mind, not much of a gamble. Mm-hmm. I think the kid's going to be pretty good once he hits the NHL. But that is an uncertainty. And if you know there are pieces that you can get for that number one pick that teams will give you that you know are effective in the NHL, you got to think about that too. So I think, Lou, yeah, you brought up a good point there.
And he's with the Petes, is that right?
I believe so.
Yeah, it's St. Pat's, Regina St. Pat.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
And so maybe the secondary question I'll put to Jacob then, since you answered the first one, Richard. The follow-up question then would be, Jacob, if you had your choice as to where he landed in – regardless of who's the first pick, where would you like? Where would you think you would want to have him land in the
Edmonton?
NHL?
Obviously,
no, stop with the Edmonton. Because I would have just said, the Rangers and been done with it. But out of the four leading contenders with the highest percentages, where would his greatest impact be?
Chicago, I believe, primarily because they have nothing. Columbus, San Jose, and Anaheim all have young pieces.
Mm.
Chicago kind of doesn't have much of anything yet. And he'll be the first piece. So I think he'll be the most impactful.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But not...
Not the final. Not the final piece.
Correct.
So, Lou, I'm guessing you were alluding to him being able to make a direct impact to improve the team immediately.
Yeah. So what's your take on that?
I think for me, it's I was going to say it's Anaheim, but
yeah,
it might be San Jose. I feel like they're one or two pieces away from actually being competitive, whether that means they get a wild card or they're competing for a wild card. They would at least be relevant past, you know, February. I feel like it's been a while since they've even been that.
I would lean towards Anaheim as well. The issue with Anaheim is, what are they going to do about goaltending?
Yeah.
They haven't got much in San Diego in the AHL with the Gulls. And Gibson, I think Joe Bartnick put it best in one of his pieces earlier this season. Somebody's got to rescue Gibson, John Gibson from Anaheim before he has PTSD for the rest of his life. and it's true. I mean, he was being funny about it, but I think it's absolutely true. But I think if they have a younger goaltender, nothing against Gibson and his age, but I think if they've got a future goaltender in the crease, then picking up a Bedard is absolutely essential. To their, because they got Troy Terry, Trevor Zegras, that, you know, the one person they picked up in free agency that I've been disappointed that he hasn't done better is Ryan Strome, and then the other one was Frank Vetrano. So there is that nucleus of young to sort of still young kind of players, and maybe Bedard would be a good addition there in Anaheim.
But also in Anaheim, Anaheim's giving almost 40 shots a game and allowing 40 goals a game, or four goals a game on average this season. I think it's more of their defense.
Well, Kevin Shattenkirk, he's been lauded as, the next best thing in blue line defense. And it's just, what a bust ever since he left St. Louis and went to the Rangers. It's been a spiral downhill. You're right, though. It's the defense, which is just, what was it? Gibson had 51 saves a couple of weeks ago. Set, a personal record, a franchise record for the number of saves. This guy isn't young enough to be withstanding that night in and night out.
You know, I'd actually like to change my answer.
Do it.
Columbus. I think Columbus will be a playoff team if Bedard goes there. Ooh. Because they have a gaping hole in the middle of that roster where Bedard can just slot straight in and make a direct impact playing top NHL minutes. If he swims. We're assuming he's going to swim because of all the hype around him. And if you watched him play, you could see why. It's absurd. Yeah. So I think
okay,
Columbus. Yeah.
Okay. So let's remember that. We've got it recorded.
Well, as we wind down here on the second line of the Pro Hockey News podcast, I think it's time we get to our Bet 99 picks of the week.
Okay. So last week or 2 weeks ago, nobody had fun. Lou and Richard went 2-3. I went 1-4 for like the third or 15th time this season. I don't know. I don't count. Regardless, Richard has his lead and it's growing still. And we got to stop him. So
it's growing on you.
I'm growing on you.
I'm holding. I'm keeping pace.
Don't talk about it. Okay.
Okay.
So first game is going to be Winnipeg at LA Kings. Richard, I'm going to start with you as the leader.
Ooh. This is a must win for Winnipeg. A should win for Los Angeles. I'm going home team. I'm going to take LA. They're pretty darn good at home.
Okay, Lou, who do you got?
I'm going to take the Kings. They have been off for a few days. I'll take the Kings.
I think the sense of urgency for Winnipeg is going to start creeping in. And I think Winnipeg, this is a must-win game for them. So I'm going to go Winnipeg. And I think they're going to be playing like they have nothing to lose, even though they do have spot in the playoffs to lose if they lose. So next game is Washington at Pittsburgh. That's a really, really huge game for both teams. Lou, I'll start with you now.
Wait a minute. It's Washington at Pittsburgh?
Yep.
No, I'm going to take the Caps as the visitors this time.
Okay. Richard?
I think Pittsburgh's bouncing back from that loss, but this one is truly a toss-up. These are two fairly even teams as far as stats go. I'll stick with Pittsburgh.
Okay. I'm also going to go Pittsburgh. I just am not a fan of Washington. I just don't. I think they're just going to start sinking.
Oh, I'm not a fan either. Don't get me wrong. They have Tom Wilson on their bench, and until he's gone.
Next one is Toronto at Carolina. Richard, I start with you this time.
Toronto at Carolina. Let's see. Carolina's lost 9 in regulation at home. Toronto has won 18 on the road. I got to go home team. No. I'm going Toronto. Carolina's got their playoff ticket punched. They're still, a couple of points ahead in New Jersey. I think Toronto gets this one.
Okay. Lear, who do you got?
I have Toronto as well. I have never been sold on the Carolina hype.
Well, Never. I'm going I'm going to sell you the Carolina hype by picking Carolina, because Carolina is a great team that has a lot of depth.
I hear they're a bunch of jerks.
Yes, also that.
And the Rangers beat them last night 2-1 on 16 shots.
So next game is back in at the Nashville.
All right, the hell with you.
Who do you got, Lou?
Oh, I'm sorry. Who are the games?
Seattle versus Nashville.
Seattle.
Okay. Richard?
Seattle. It's Seattle at Nashville, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. Seattle's amazing on the road. 23-9-4. I'll take Seattle.
Yeah. Probably 24-9-4. After that game, I'm also going Seattle. Next, last game of the for the picks is going to be Vegas at Edmonton. Richard, starting with you this time.
Well, I'm guessing you're going to pick Edmonton, so I'm going to go with Vegas, and that's my only reasoning for that.
Okay. Lou?
This is... Edmonton.
I'm also going to go Edmonton. If Mark Stone was playing and healthy, I would pick Vegas here, but he's not. So I'm going to go Edmonton for this game. But I do think in a 7-game playoff series, I think Vegas might have it. And that's it for the picks of the week. If you'd like to follow along, please follow hashtag PHN Picks and our PHN podcast account on Twitter.
All right. Parting thoughts. Jacob.
This semester of school is almost over because I have to get that over and done with, because it's been a very messy semester for me as I got COVID right smack dab in the middle of midterms. So that was fun. So hopefully that's over with.
Okay. Lou.
My parting thought is... it was a terrific week on my music scene. Wound up playing a bunch of country music on Wednesday night. I stepped in as the lead guitarist for a country band. I am not a country fan, but wound up playing leads for them. And it was a 4 hours worth of work on Wednesday night. So that's my parting thought. I want to send a thank you to Willie D and his Forgotten Country Band.
All right.
So, Richard.
We're going to have to track some of that down and play it here on the podcast. My parting thought, actually, I've got a couple. First one, I want to talk about something I saw pop up on social media, some unofficial NHL awards that are going out, top goaltenders of last week. The NHL was celebrating goaltenders who played phenomenally, and I'm not taking anything away from these guys, in last week, March 13th through 19th. And of course, you had names up there like Shesterkin and Sorokin, who were showing save percentages of like .950 during that week. But I noticed one name was missing, and then I realized why. In that week, Jeremy Swayman for the Boston Bruins had a perfect save percentage, pitching two shutouts back to back, and he was not on the list because he had to play a minimum of 3 games that week, and he had only played 2 that week. I was like, well, come on. Can't you guys just throw him a bone? He's, two back-to-back shutouts is hard enough. But
don't feed the Bruins.
Don't feed the Bruins. Other one, my last parting shot, the rec team I play on, the Mountaineers, we have our season finale tonight. So after I finish recording here, I'm going to head out to the rink. And, we've already locked up the number one spot in the postseason. We're just playing for fun tonight, but it should be a good one against our arch nemesis, Netsticks and Chill. Actually, a very good name there. All right.
Sticks and
Chill.
I like that name.
Yeah, not bad. For Jacob Doherty and Lou Lafredo, thanks to all of our sponsors, LDE Affinity Jewelry, Manscaped, My Custom Sports Chair, and the Chicago Wolves Merchandise Store. Listeners, thank you very much for making us a part of your routine. And everybody, I will see you next week.